Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Want to start out with a huge thank you to my team here on the show, Cal on the board, Jamie, my senior producer, for getting the show out yesterday. And a big, big thank you to my colleague in broadcasting, Pat Kreitlow, who did double duty yesterday, rocking out at least 4 hours of radio and certainly giving a great amount of justice and having some great conversations, great discussions with our guests yesterday, including Bobby Coogan for the Center for American Progress, talking about the robbery that will happen out of your pocketbook if the Trump tax cuts 2.0 for billionaires and the world's richest corporations goes through. If you missed that or any of the fine program yesterday, including a discussion about what can only be called a charming little film called Hundreds of Beavers, Pat interviewed the producer of Hundreds of Beavers, a guy by the name of Kurt Ravenswood, yesterday. That is all part of our fabulous show archive. You can find all of the past Maggie Dawn shows on Apple Pods, Spotify, and of course by going to civicmedia.us/shows. But all of this to say thank you, thank you, thank you to everybody who made it possible. For those of you who have listened to the show for more than a few times, you may have heard me regale you all at times about stories from my days long past of rugby playing and other athletic endeavors. Every once in a while, those athletic endeavors catch up with me and I have, you know, weird back spasms / muscle problems and end up on my bathroom floor in a fetal-like position, writhing from pain. That was me yesterday. We're going to hope we've got a pain-free show for me and for each and every one of you, along with some politics and fun this afternoon. We got just the guy to kick us off this afternoon. I'm joined by my colleague at Civic Media, Gray Gunderson, coming to you live from Park Falls, Wisconsin. And we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in your neck of the woods, Gray. Thanks so much for joining us again today.
Thanks for having me back, Maggie. I miss being here, and there's been a lot since last time we spoke. So it's, yeah, like you said earlier, we've got plenty to talk about as long as we just, whatever we decide to. I just wanted to quickly mention, I heard you said that your experience with sports was diverse, and this tiny little piece of my mind just asked, was it equitable? Was it inclusive? It's probably illegal then. Sorry.
These days it would be illegal. I will say this about the sport of rugby. In that it is an incredibly inclusive sport without ever having to, like, the intentionality behind that. And here's why rugby is incredibly inclusive, just to riff on this random topic for a moment. Rugby players, if you have never seen a match, I highly recommend YouTubing one and checking it out. But if you've ever seen a match, look at the diversity of athletes on that field, both in terms of what their magic superpower as an athlete is, as well as like body types, height, what their superpower is, because rugby really necessitates an incredible variety of athlete. Just the way the sport is played, you need big, powerful people. Everybody's got to be able to take a hit, but you need people with incredible bursting speed, just raw foot speed, lateral movement, hand-eye coordination. And even within the positions that require incredible power, you need different kinds of power and agility. So I often find it both not ironic and incredibly interesting that I had stumbled my way into a sport that literally has a place for every kind of athlete out there, which is why I think you can have so much fun playing and spectating the sport. There's somebody out there running around that looks just like you. I promise you that. So thanks for that wonderful tangent to start out our Wednesday show. But Gray, you had on your topic list for today something that I think very few people are aware that these things exist, and yet they have such an amazingly huge impact on how neighborhoods develop, where dollars get invested by governments in terms of infrastructure improvements. And these are the things that are called comprehensive plans. So, Gray, let's start with what is a comprehensive plan and why should people want to know if where they live and the community that they live in has a comprehensive plan?
Well, those are fantastic questions, Maggie, not least of which because they are answered with the same sentence. A comprehensive plan is the rational basis for the land use in your community. That's it. There are many flavors for how you can make those decisions and what those decisions could be, and each of them are going to vary as much as the places making them. But by and large, you've got some sort of community-based decision-making structure, and it's basically the goals for the land, whether that's an increase in tourism and how we can use the land to do that, or maybe we want to leverage this particular dam. You know, it's an open accounting of what's here in the area that we control and how can we use that best to benefit itself. Tourism is maybe one of the best examples. Cool, we want human beings to walk through this street we have. That's profitable it's self-evident. That profit is self-evident. It's a little more obscure when you're talking about the value of timber or the tourism that happens within the forestry community, which of course is seeing its own issues these days. But comprehensive plan, I'll admit, I wasn't as familiar as I should have been with comprehensive plans until I found out about what's going on with comprehensive plans in our own backyard. And a dirty, dirty word, extractive
land use. I just want to take a pause here to emphasize a few of the things that you've shared with everybody, Gray. That is, a comprehensive plan largely drives how zoning is determined, which determines whether or not you can put a certain type of business in a place. It determines what kind of development is permitted in different places, whether or not residential neighborhoods can expand, whether or not there might be a multifamily unit apartment building next to owned other single family homes. All of this stuff is baked into a comprehensive plan. And within that plan, not only can we think about business or residential zoning, but Gray, to your point, part of a comprehensive plan necessarily contemplates how do we grow and or maintain a local property tax base. And how is that going to work over time? Are we seeing growing populations or populations that are decreasing? Do we have enough housing? All of these considerations. Do we have enough green space? How are people recreating? How are they getting around? All of that stuff. Do we have a dog park nearby? All of those things are contemplated in a comprehensive plan. It has an outsized impact on what goes on in every single listener's, every single one of your neighborhoods. Now, Gray, you were telling me that there's a wee bit of controversy going on with Oneida County's comprehensive plan. Tell us more.
Forgive me for getting ahead of myself a little bit, because there's an extra degree or two under my collar about it, because these counties, so we're in Price County up here in Park Falls, and it's bordered by 8 other counties, each one of them extensively beautiful, naturally wooded areas, part of the Shawamigan National Forest. And the thing about forests is that they are the basis of basically the entire natural structure of the country, and they're also made of money. And that means that you'll have two groups of people with entirely different interests that are just as passionate about how that land is used. And I didn't know until very recently that the Northwoods of Wisconsin is attracting interest from people who haven't looked here before. There's eyes on the Northwoods that haven't been paying attention to us. And I think that's been a privilege that's about to end, at least from my perspective and from the perspective of people who want to protect the land more than profit on it. Not to knock him, but Tom Tiffany's been around. And of course he's around. He's a congressperson from the state. He has been working for a while with, for those who don't know about Tom Tiffany, his actually agricultural economics is, I believe, what his original degree is in. And he's done a lot of work with certain groups that focus on the growth of ranching and the use of land out west. But apparently he started to turn his sights a little back towards home, realizing that the same principles that have allowed him to turn land into profit out west might be the perfect way to turn our backyard into profit. Those things that haven't been touched, the things that have been sacred. And of course, the big kerfuffle a couple weeks ago was there was a little bit of a pretty decent misattribution of info, which was that millions of acres of national forest are now going to be clear cut. Okay, no, there wasn't a plan in place, but there was the relaxation of the restrictions that stopped it. So that people were concerned was, Well, there was some alarmism behind it, but it wasn't unfounded. And now here we are staring down the barrel of comprehensive plans now include more extractive land use, mining, logging, destructive use of land. I mean, it's undeniable that there is destruction that takes place. Yes, the act of cutting a tree is destructive, but I mean, the runoff from the machines and the gas that they use, the okay, let's look at the other side of the coin. The local economy gets a boost when you do that. There's a reason that they're doing that. It's not just because, hey, we don't like these trees, let's cut them down so that Wisconsin has more view of the sky. Maybe Elon would like that because Starlink would come in better, but frankly, he doesn't need the help up here because there's no good internet, and that's an entirely separate issue. But that's it for me. We talked a couple months ago about that dam where I fish all the time. That's part of the area that is now being considered for use that has never even been considered before. The things that are sacred simply aren't, and I just don't know what that means. That's what scares me. What scares me is what I don't know about. And so when I'm afraid, I seek to educate myself. And I'm meeting walls. I'm meeting more walls, Maggie, than I've ever met in the process of educating myself.
Yes, when they're covering things up, when you can't find out information, it's always a red flag. We're going to talk about how to balance a bit these in the interest in trying to create profit, grow tax bases, be a friendly environment for business, and each of our individual rights as human beings to increase our dignity, to explore our human dignity by being able to recreate in the natural resources that make Wisconsin so incredible. And what revenue is generated in the state of Wisconsin because we do have untouched wilderness and beautiful natural resources. The false choice here is real, everybody. We're going to dig in a little bit into that when we come back. I'm also going to introduce you to a concept in economics that every single one of us can grasp, and that is negative externalities. If you want to know what that is and how you can use it to have a more informed, nuanced debate about land use and comprehensive plans, stay tuned. It's nerdy, but it's important right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.